Welcome back.
Welcome
to Phenomenal Flicks. Welcome back to Phenomenal Flicks, or as I'm calling it for the month of October, Phenomenal Frights, the movie review podcast. My name is Tommy, your host, and today I am reviewing Let's Scare Julie, starring Troy Lee Ann Johnson and Isabel May, directed by Judd Kramata. As usual, I will not be doing spoilers on this review, as this is a weekend of release film, and it just came out last Friday on video on demand, so I do not want to spoil that for anybody. If you are interested in seeing the movie, either listen to my review first, of course, and then kind of make your judgment on that, or go watch the movie and listen to my review after. Whatever makes you happy, please go and do that. But let me talk about Phenomenal Frights first off. This is, of course, since this podcast just started this year, a first for me. If you saw my Instagram post, you noticed that I released a kind of truncated schedule, not truncated, but elongated schedule, where instead of just doing a review once a week, I was planning on doing two different styles of reviews per week. Last Friday, of course, October 2nd, which is actually the day that this movie came out, but October 2nd, me and my girlfriend Olivia went to the Harvest Moon Drive-In to see Halloween 1978 and Halloween 2018. Where we, in turn, reviewed sort of the drive-in experience without a structure. We just talked about how cool it was to be out socially distanced from people, because a drive-in is actually the best place to not be around people, and sort of take in just the horror aspect that the drive-in had. So please go listen to that episode if you haven't. Like I said, it's not very structured. It's more of us just kind of popping in on the phone whenever we can, to talk about the experience of the drive-in and the movies that we saw. Next Friday, I will have actually my friend Ryan Larson on, and we'll be talking about the underrated horror gems that we have. We both brought a list of 10 horror gems that we think are quite underrated that you may not have seen. The following Friday, Mike Vlas will be back on for the third time. He's getting those golden headphones, and we will be reliving horror at the video store. Him and I were both born in the late 80s. We grew up in the 90s, kind of the last heyday of the video store, so we want to talk about what our experiences were, not only at the video store, but kind of going through the horror aisles and being just captivated by the box art that VHS movies brought us. October 23rd, Olivia will be back, and we will be doing our 10 favorite horror movies. She came up with a list, I came up with a list, and we're going to kind of compare each other's lists and see, because I have no idea what all of her favorite horror movies are, and this is going to be really exciting. And then, instead of doing October 30th, which will be the Friday, October 31st, Olivia's going to hop back on, we're going to be in our costumes, even though you won't see us, and we'll be reviewing Trick or Treat, the fantastic horror anthology from 2007. But that does not mean I'm not doing new horror reviews, because again, if you saw that post, you saw that every Tuesday, October 6th, 13th, 20th, and 27th, I would be doing a new horror movie release. This week's, of course, being Let's Scare Julie, which is about a group of teenage girls who notice that there is a new neighbor who lives across the street, and they plan on pulling a prank, which ends up turning to terror when some of the girls do not return. Now, this movie was originally called Let's Scare Julie to Death. And to me and many other horror fans, that seemed like it was going to be a remake, at least not of a loose remake, of a 1971 horror film called Let's Scare Jessica to Death. Turns out they dropped the to death part, and now it's just called Let's Scare Julie, and it has pretty much nothing to do with that 70s film, aside from a similar title. Now, this movie was touted to be doing something very interesting right off the bat, and it's going to be, unfortunately, one of the positives, the only positives I have about this movie, and it is shot in entirely one shot. The camera feels kind of like a fifth character, or sixth character, if you will, sort of following these girls around, because you just seem like, it seems sort of found footage-y, even though it is not, because there's not someone behind a camera that's in this universe, but the edits are pretty much non-existent. Now, of course, they didn't just shoot this all in one night and then put it out for everyone to see. They shot this over 4 nights, doing one take all 4 nights. And then, of course, the editors came in and edited the best parts together. I'm sure there was a couple flubbed lines or a couple things that you couldn't hear or see correctly. So they edited it pretty smartly. But the movie does look like one shot, and I think that's the best part of the film. You are following these girls from the moment the movie starts to the moment the credits start, or sorry, the moment the credits end. And it's pretty awesome. It's kind of like living your real life, and that was, in my opinion, the best, coolest part of the film. Now, however, just because that one shot worked really well does not mean that the film looked good, if that makes sense. And let me explain on that. So, it was really out of focus. The film was a little grainy, and not in that like 70s and 80s way that I love. It was grainy in the fact that it once the film like the cameraman was not focusing well. So a couple of the girls would be talking and it would focus on them, and then another girl to say the right would start talking, and then it would pan to her, but she would be out of focus and it would be really blurry, and that's just really unprofessionally done. That's college level film, in my opinion. You know, someone making a college thesis film and then it comes out really blurry and really shitty. And I feel like those are things that could have been fixed in post, but they wanted to do this one shot thing, so they're like, well, it's blurry, so we're just gonna keep with it. The sound also was terrible. I mean, this movie, you had five girls in this room, five teenage girls in a room, talking nonstop for the first 25, 30 minutes. And some of them were incredibly loud, like right in your face, like, oh man, that was jarring. And then another girl would talk again, and you could barely understand what she was saying. You could, it, like, I had to actually turn on subtitles, and I hate subtitles unless I'm watching a foreign film. And that is again really piss poor. And I think while the one shot looked great, like I've said, it was to the detriment of the movie because they weren't able to work around these technical aspects that they were not nailing down. Speaking of the characters, all of them are pretty miserable. Now I'm gonna go through the names real quick, and this is aside from Emma and Taylor, who were played by the two actresses that I named at the beginning. There's also Madison, Jess, and Paige. And these girls were so interchangeable, I could not tell you which one was which, especially when the girls are kind of walking through the house or on the phone with each other, and all you hear is Madison, Jess, Paige, Taylor, Emma, where are you? And it's which who are you talking to? Because those girls don't like appear out of nowhere and be like, I'm here. And if it was not for me going to IMDb to kind of put a visual to the women that I were seeing on screen, I would have no idea who is her, who was who. Now, Emma is an African American woman, and Taylor is a Caucasian woman, and they are cousins. And the whole point of why they are together is Emma and her little sister Lily are with Taylor and her dad at their home for reasons that are not known. They never go into a reason why they are there. However, Taylor's dad is really, what's the word I'm looking for? Really intent on keeping his daughter safe, but not in the way that a father should do. He is very adamant about you will not have friends over, you will not go out past this time, you will not dress a certain way. He's the kind, and even though he gets no screen time saying those things, it's pretty much implied in dialogue but never really said. He's very commanding and very demanding as a dad. So these other three friends are not supposed to be in the house. So the entire time, Taylor keeps saying, shh, be quiet, my dad's downstairs, I don't want him to hear us. But if you're laughing and talking and smoking weed, he's gonna fucking wake up and know. And that was just really illogical and unnecessary, I think. You could have had the dad out of town. You could have nixed the character completely. If she would have just been like, oh, my parents aren't home, everyone would have kind of understood that. But you had this dad character who has one small, tiny scene where he's got a gun and he's drunk, and that was really about it. It just seemed rather pointless, especially with the fact that Taylor kept saying, you guys need to be quiet, you guys need to stop making noise. But they were not being quiet and not making noise, and they were smoking weed, which has a scent to it, and the dad never noticed, not once. I harp on the fact that the first like 25 to 30 minutes was just these five girls talking, which is not a problem. I mean, one of my favorite movies of all time is Clerks, and that is literally 90 minutes of two dudes just talking. But when they're talking, there's substance involved. When they are talking to each other, when they are talking to the girlfriend, or when they are talking to Jay and Silent Bob, or when they are talking to someone else, they are talking about something. Whether it be something as juvenile as Star Wars, or something as important as death. Now this movie, they just talked, and again, if it was not for the subtitles, I probably wouldn't have caught about 80% of the dialogue, but I guess there was a dick pic involved, and they were talking about, oh, what are you going to do at school? Oh, let's go talk about this Julie girl that lives across the street, and I guess that's going to be me getting into the main point. So this new family moves across the street. There's this girl, Julie, who everyone thinks is a recluse. She's got skin that they think makes her a burn victim. That's never truly said. And then they decide, you know what, we're going to take these masks that looks like we got them from the Purge, and we're going to go scare her. And the only one who doesn't go is Emma. And I guess Taylor went to the airport to grab somebody, so the three girls going are Madison, Paige, and, good God, what was the other girl's name? Jess. And then one of them comes back, like, oh no, where is everybody? I don't know what happened, and she's crying. And then they find another girl, and she pretends to be dead, but it's just a joke. You never see one of the other girls again. And then Madison leaves, and then you never see her again. But I'm not spoiling anything with this, because you don't see or even get told what happens to them. They just disappear, and then they're gone. And you're left to wonder at the end, is it supernatural? Is this girl just crazy and killing people? And it's never told to you. You're supposed, and I don't mind a film, because like something like The Witch, where I don't really know what happened, but I can make my own conclusions. I kind of like that. This is just like, here we have this idea, but now I'm going to give you another idea, and then a fourth idea, and then a fifth idea, and a sixth idea. And you don't get any consideration from the filmmakers to say, hey, maybe this was a little confusing, we should give you a little something. No, it's just the movie goes, and then it ends. And there are some spooky scenes, like when you see, I'm actually not going to spoil what you see, but there's some things that you see like off to the right of the screen, where if you're not paying 100% attention, you're not going to catch it. But if you are watching the film, as you should, you're like, oh, well, that was jarring. That was a little spooky, but it's not scary. Nothing about this film is scary. And nothing about this film really makes sense. And nothing about this film was exciting. And nothing about this film left me wanting to watch it again, or wanting to see anything else, or even caring what happened to a single person in this movie. The acting was bad. A lot of the, I can't even say shots because it's one shot, but a lot of the filmmaking was bad. There's no spooky moments. It's sadly an unfortunate way to start out and weekend and release review of what I wanted to do with Phenomenal Frights. And I'm left wondering what the hell happened. And I hate not having to have my own opinion. I hate having to go to the internet and being like, maybe I just missed something. Maybe someone's going to explain to me what happened. But what I've seen so far, and the limited people that have actually seen this movie, everyone's like, I don't know. I don't get it. There was kind of no point to this movie, and it reminded me of The Turning, which actually opened earlier this year, seems like years ago, where you're watching this movie, and then it ends, and you're like, what? Why? Why? What? Why? What? Those are just the questions I have. And it's very unfortunate, because I thought this movie looked interesting, I thought it sounded interesting with the technical aspects of it, but they failed on almost every account. So with all that said, I'm going to give Let's Scare Julie a D-. So thank you guys so much for listening. Please, of course, listen to the Halloween review live from the drive-in. And then, of course, I've got the other ones that I mentioned at the beginning of the episode coming up. I can't wait to have Ryan back on. I'm actually surprised he has got time, because that dude is so busy with everything he's got. I'm so proud of you, man. Thank you for being able to just give my measly little podcast the time of day. Of course, look forward to Mike again and Olivia back, as well as more horror releases I'll be doing, because Shudder, Netflix, and Hulu all have stuff coming out, and those are going to be easy for you to see. So thanks again, guys. Please follow Phenomenal Flicks on Instagram and Twitter, as well as Facebook. Go to 2 Week Media, where you can find all the other reviews and podcasts under the 2 Week Media umbrella, such as Faking It, I Feel Petty, Just Hates Musicals, and That's Gotta Be Wrestling. And as always, folks, stay phenomenal.